Attention, radio listeners.
Ooh, Thomas, get out of town. Wow.
Let me have your attention for a moment.
Goodness, is that a message? Oh, mommy, please, get me out of this game.
You weren't paying any attention.
Interesting move here, Bill. Shays came into the basketball game. Jim Boeheim has inserted Shays into the game. Big guy inside, maybe to help eliminate that second or third shot.
Well, people in Central New York claim that Roosevelt Bowie is the best center Syracuse University has ever had.
Your attention, please. This is Centers of Attention.
Welcome into hour number two of Centers of Attention here on ESPN Radio and on twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. Seth Goldberg, Roosevelt Bowie, we will have Eitan Thomas joining us in just a moment. We got a big show today, Rosie. We got the big man coach in Alan Griffin coming up, and then we got one of the former big men himself in Tyler Lydon joining the show after that. That'll be fun.
Hey, yeah, it's gonna be a hoot. You know, I'm always happy when we get big guys on here.
I know that. Look, I know we need no convincing of you and Eitan to get those big men on. We got Eitan on the line now. How's it going, Eitan?
Hi, how's everybody doing? I don't have great reception, but I'm here in Boston enjoying this terrible weather. But how's everybody doing over there?
It's all good here, all good here. And Eitan, let's get started here. You texted me this morning. You said we had to talk. We got to get to this story from yesterday. You said you're in Boston, not far away from where our leading off story is. And that was Springfield, Massachusetts at the Hoop Hall Classic, where LeBron James's son, Bronny, was playing with his high school team. And late in the game, a fan decided to just do something terrible, quite honest, and throw some garbage on the court as Bronny was inbounding the ball. LeBron talked about it after the game last night in Boston.
Well, I didn't see it until I got here, actually. I did see the, I was on the complete opposite end of the floor. I did see the referee stop the game or stop the inbounds, and a cop came up there, but I didn't even know what happened until the video evidence showed me today when I got here. I mean, it's just disrespectful. I mean, and it was a little kid, too.
You know, it's really interesting, Eitan and Rosie, to watch this, and you guys can give me some better perspective. But I come away with one feeling. Can we just not be jerks?
I mean, that would be a good thing. I mean, the story, just all of it, just kind of bothered me. You know what I mean? I mean, Bronny, yes, you're LeBron James' son, so you're going to have a different level of spotlight on you. But fans just do too much sometimes, you know? But the question is, you know, it was a little kid that did it. So my question, and y'all help me on this, should the parent be held responsible for something that the little kid do? Because apparently the parent was sitting right there next to him. You know what I mean? So what should happen now? What should happen to the kid, you know what I mean, or the parent or whatever? What should be the punishment?
Well, I can tell you for sure, had I been sitting there and I threw that at somebody at a game, the next thing you would have saw was me go from getting smacked in the back of the head. So, you know, you got to look to the parents.
Yeah, I would imagine that's what you got to do. Like, I feel like you got to hold them accountable.
I mean, it's interesting because, and you know, not to get into politics too much, but you know, we're in an election year, and Kamala Harris, who was running for the Democratic nominee, she has been notorious for in California when she was a prosecuting attorney, really championing punishing parents for the kids' truancy, and I was all the way against that. You know what I mean? I honestly was, but here, looking at this example, I'm like, well, I have to kind of question it a little bit. I kind of got to go back a little bit because, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, when you're with your kids and you see somebody, like a little kid, do something and you get mad at your kid, like, if you ever do anything like that, you know what I mean? And, like, your kid is like, what? I didn't even do anything. But that was, like, my response when seeing this. You know what I mean? I wouldn't even know how to react if I was a parent and my kid did something like that at a game. But, you know, it's frustrating because, you know, that's taking it too far. You want fans to be involved in the game. You want fans to cheer and everything like that and support. But when you throw stuff at a player, you know, and you can see the video. The kid is literally just throwing it exactly at Bronny while he's inbounding the sideline. It's not like he just threw some trash on the court. You know what I mean? He was trying to hit Bronny with whatever it is that he threw. And that's just, there's just no place in that in the sport in any way.
You know, the thing that I saw that was pretty interesting was LeBron James, his demeanor. He was pretty calm, and his son was pretty calm about it. And I think that all of these things can be teaching moments. I was out with a friend of mine playing golf, and we just happened to bring in our foursome his 10-year-old son. And so while we were waiting, his 10-year-old son would get up and he'd hit a nice straight ball out there about 90 feet. And the guy that we were paired with in front of us, he'd get up afterwards, he'd hit, and he'd hit a terrible shot. And he'd turn around, he'd say, "Why are you bringing that kid out here?" And so I'm thinking, I'm getting a little hot around the collar, you know, and he does it the second time. And my friend Mark looks at me and he goes, "I got this." So at the third time, the guy, after his son gets up and hits the ball straight, he gets up, then he goes, and the guy says it again, "Why'd you bring that kid out here?" And he looked him square in the face, and he said, "I brought my son out here today so that when he's 14, he's not robbing you while you're out playing golf. Everything's a teachable moment." And the guy just went, "Enjoy your day." So LeBron taught his son how to handle situations like that.
Yeah, and I hear you on that, and there's definitely teachable moments, but these aren't moments that you should have to teach. You know what I mean? Like, there's certain things that just shouldn't happen, in my opinion. I know a lot of times overseas, it's a whole different atmosphere. Oh. And you can speak to that a little bit more, because I remember when we went on, like, one little trip, actually when I was with Syracuse, and we went to trip overseas, and they was telling us not to react because the fans sometimes throw things. I was like, "What do you mean the fans throw things?" What are you talking about? You know, because there's two things. They was like, "So sometimes the fans smoke in the stands and they throw things." Yeah. I was like, "Okay, I'm not used to this." But is that like the norm overseas pretty much, Rosie?
Well, I can tell you there's a couple of interesting situations. So my first year, I just left Syracuse University. We're all proper and everything, and I get over to a town near where Pisa is, Livorno, and we lose a tough game by a few points. My teammate gets ready, opens the door, he walks out. He's got on a tan leather coat. He walks out the door with his bag on his shoulder. And 40 seconds later, he comes back in and he walks past me and he's got a footprint between his shoulder blades.
A footprint.
when he went outside and he turned his back, one of the fans got a running start and jumped up and kicked him right between the shoulder blades. He came back in with his bag all broken because he swung it and hit the kid. And I'm like, "Oh, wow, we're in the wild, wild west now." So at that point, I gathered myself up, opened the door, and I walked out the door, and I looked at the biggest guy out there and walked right towards him, and he looked me in my eyes, and he backed and said, "Let this guy out of here." And I was like, sometimes you just gotta act like you're not wrapped too tight.
See, I'm not about that life at all. I don't even know how to even, you know, I mean, because we were talking about, like, fans and overzealous fans. And, you know, whenever we would go and play West Virginia, I think those were kind of the most, you know, overzealous fans. And in the league, it was all the time when we went to Utah. You know what I mean? Those were like, that was like the place. You remember when Russell Westbrook turned around and it went viral and he yelled at the fan and all the players were like, "Yep, that's Utah. Ain't no telling what that guy said to him." You know, you just heard all the players chiming in from all around. But I mean, but actually throwing something at you, that just takes it a whole nother step. You know what I mean? And I just don't think that players should have to deal with anything like that. But then you're looking at Bronny. He's my son's age. He's like a little bit older than Malcolm. And I'm just like, wow. I put myself in that position. Like, how would I respond if I'm at a game and somebody throws like anything at Malcolm while he's playing? Like, I don't know if I have that in me to just be like, "Okay, this is a teachable moment, son. What you do is you just do the right thing." You know what I mean? Because then you go in parent mode. You know what I mean? You know, and it's something that shouldn't happen. But, you know, I saw that story, and I was just frustrated about it. I was like, this is not something that a young player should have to deal with, or any player, not even a professional player should have to deal with, in my opinion.
No, and guys, I know we could spend forever, and to me, I'm also still amazed at how a kid is the one who's doing it and where you kind of learned that from. Forget about the teachable moment for Bronny and how LeBron handled it, which was great. But on the other side, like, you got to learn it from somewhere, right? And, right. You know, it's just all these questions come up. You know, I can't speak from the parenting side of it, but, you know, as a kid, I could say I never swore once when I was a kid, and then I went to sleepaway camp when I wasn't around my parents, and all these other kids are, and, you know, all of a sudden you learn a couple of new words. And, you know, so you got to learn it from somewhere, and you kind of wonder where these kids get it if they're going to sit at a basketball game and throw garbage at a kid.
I definitely agree. I mean, but the parent was right there, apparently. Like, right next to him. You know what I'm saying? And I was just like, wow. Like, you know, how did that go through your mind? I mean, it's like when you're, like, if you've been in a grocery store, you see a kid just throw a tantrum just all the way, like, taking stuff out the, you know what I mean? All throwing it on the floor, just throwing all out of tantrum. And I'm just, and my kids look at them like, wow. Like, how is he getting away with this? You know what I mean? Like, how is this okay? And that's kind of like what I'm thinking when I see this. Like, how is this okay? You know what I mean? And I'd like to see and hear what comes after that. You know, if they're going to hold the parent responsible, number one, you know, the parent's reaction, because I'm like waiting to hear the parent's reaction. I haven't heard anything yet. I'm sure we'll be hearing that here soon. But, you know, the parent has to be able to speak on this. But, yeah, I mean, LeBron and Bronny, I mean, yeah, they handled it like professionals. But it's too much to ask for, you know, 15, however old Bronny is, to be that much of a professional. And, you know, with some, I just think that's too much to ask.
But you know what, in these different situations, like that situation happened the first time I was over there in Italy, and then everything got better. But there are situations that, for instance, depending on the place, there's one in this particular town, that's the only thing that they had to do all the time. So it was so crazy because then they would get so excited about it. And then you would think that if you walked out, your life would be in danger. Then afterwards, when you walk out the door, as soon as the final buzzer goes off, it's switched, click, and they're like, hey, you had a good game tonight. And I would just walk out going, what? How does that happen?
Yeah, that would throw me off. I wouldn't really know how to react to that. If somebody just would throw stuff at me and then, you know, oh, he had a great game. You know, want like an autograph with you and take a picture with you? Yeah, that's
as soon as the clock as soon as the clock world. Goes off, it's changed.
Guys, we got to run. Etan, thanks for calling in, and we'll be talking to you again tomorrow here on the show. But we got Alan Griffin coming up next, Tyler Lydon coming up after that. So a busy show here on Centers of Attention on ESPN Radio.
On Twitch, Q Sports Talk, and on the radio, ESPN 97.7 and 100.1. This is Centers of Attention.
We're back here on ESPN Radio, and we are headed to the Burdick Toyota guest line to bring on our first guest today, Alan Griffin, SU assistant basketball coach, joining us here on Centers of Attention. Griff, how are you? It's Seth and Rosie with you today. What's going on?
What's going on, fellas? What's going on?
So, Griff, a lot going on with the team. You're riding a three-game winning streak now after you go on the road and beat Virginia Tech. You know, how's the team doing? I'd imagine that the mood is a little bit better than it was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, a little better mood. I think guys are, you know, settling into their roles and starting to take off in it. But, you know, at the end of the day, I don't think this group is satisfied. I know they feel that they have a lot more to go and a lot more to accomplish. So, you know, we're just taking it day by day and game by game and, you know, seeing what can happen.
You know, looking at how this team played down at Virginia Tech, you now went on the road and beat Virginia and Virginia Tech after they beat you in your home building. You know, what does that do for your team, for your confidence? Is there some kind of a redemption factor in there? How was that kind of handled?
You know what, Seth, I think these guys are going out there trying to win every game that they can. I don't think they look into it where it's to, you know, it's revenge type of deal. You know, the message has been set from day one is just take care of, the, you know, one game at a time and then see, you know, at the end where it leads us to. And that's just been the motto. So, you know, going into it with the revenge on our mind and stuff like that, I don't think that's one thing that these guys are thinking about. These guys are just going out there and just trying to play well and trying to win by one point.
Hey, Alan, this is Rose. You know, there was a when I watched these guys play this summer, that's the exact same feeling that I got from them. They don't particularly care what anybody's got to say. They were looking inside themselves, trying to be tough, trying to play hard. And I've always thought that when you see a team play during preseason against teams that might not be as strong as they are, that's what they want to do. That's what they want to do when they finally get their act together and they gel as a team. And it seems to be that's what they're doing.
Yeah, definitely, Rose. You know, this summer, it was some benefit to the summer. And, you know, obviously we would have thought that it would have kicked in right away once the season started. But it did to a certain degree. And you know, it kind of highlighted some of our deficiencies, which we're almost getting over, and we still got a ways to go. But it's just been one of those things where, you know, our guys been super focused on, you know, that day, like today's practice, just focusing on today and going over the game plan and then being ready to play tomorrow. And these guys have been super focused at, you know, doing that stuff. So, again, you know, that's just been the message, you know, from coach and, you know, everybody from me all the way down to the last player of the team has just been, you know, putting our blinders on and just kind of going forward, looking forward and seeing what can happen next.
Excellent. That's great.
You know, Griff, looking back for one moment at this game Saturday, and then we could turn our attention to Notre Dame and the games ahead. Looking at that game that you guys played on Saturday, you didn't have the 3-point shot necessarily going, but you know, Marek scored a lot, and Elijah did some work in the post, and you guys outscored them in the post by a pretty substantial margin. Is that something that you thought you might be able to take advantage of, given how the first game went?
Yeah, we knew that we would get some opportunities around the rim because they're not, you know, your traditional big team. You know, they play small skilled guys, so we knew that if we can kind of get the ball around the rack, we can probably finish some. But, you know, outside of Elijah Marek, I thought Buddy did a great job of getting the ball to the basket, especially in the first half. He started it all going for that 18 straight, and it wasn't just threes. It was, you know, he had a couple pull-ups. He had some, you know, drives to the basket. You know, if he opened up that part of his game, oh, watch out. You know, the country better watch out, you know?
Yeah, what's that do when now Buddy's not just a toe-the-line three-point shooter kind of a guy and you know, he's got to make defenders respect his game off the dribble?
Yeah, it just gives us another weapon. There's another guy that can, you know, outside of Elijah and, you know, and Joe can get in there a little bit. It's just finishing around the basket, getting us some, you know, some twos. They're not so easy, but, you know, getting twos is still good for us, too. And we want as many as we can get, but the three is, you know, is our weapon, and we just got to keep our guys confident to go out there and just, you know, if they get these open shots, they're taking them, which I think right now they are very confident in their ability to make those shots.
Now, you know, the thing that I love to see is when the scouting report comes out and everyone talks about what great shooters players are, you already know what happens is they start playing for the three-point shot, right? And then as the scouting report stays there, they keep playing the three-point, then they start playing only the three-point. And when you have a man that's running at you or a man that's standing there right in front of you, he gets so close that he's going to get beat. If you put you can either play the jump shot or you can play the ball on the floor. You can't play them both at the same time. They get too close, and I was so happy to see Buddy take advantage of that. And you're going to start seeing it'll happen more often.
Yeah, and that's one part of his game that, you know, a lot of people, you know, didn't give him credit for. But, you know, when we see it in practice, he gets in the lane, he makes the right play. He's in such a great groove right now and so confident in his game. It's just a plus and a bonus for us. And you know what? We need him to win. That's point blank. If Buddy don't play well, we don't win. You know, so again, that's not added pressure. That's just what this team is and it's how this team is constructed. And you know, he's one of our better players and we need him to play well, in which he's, you know, doing so.
We're talking with Alan Griffin. It's brought to you by Davidson Ford in Clay. And Griff, now looking forward and looking towards these games against Notre Dame, and then you guys return home after a week on the road, a week plus on the road, I should say. But you head to Notre Dame tomorrow. And again, another team that you've faced already this year and faced on your home floor. Given that you've seen them, what kind of an edge does that give as far as scouting and game planning and being ready for them tomorrow night?
Yeah, it was a shootout here, losing by 1 point. You know, they're winning on the home court. The one thing, you know, we know that Notre Dame, they can do a really good job. They can shoot the ball. They can score. And we need to get some stops. We made them miss some here at the Dome, and the thing that really hurt us is that we didn't clean up the misses. They got a couple of, you know, putbacks, and they had the luck of the Irish on their side a little bit. They had a tip-in, you know, which was an offensive rebound tip-in, which, you know, usually you get that ball and that's considered a stop. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that you can kind of say, you know, went wrong in that game. But, you know, again, just to answer your question, you know, seeing them, you know, you just know what they do. And, you know, we played a really good offensive game, and we just got to continue that game playing offensively and then try to, you know, continue to get some stops on defense.
Hey, Alan, many compliments to the work you're doing with the bigs, because I'm here to tell you if Quincy rebounds the ball like he did the other night, nobody's going to beat you. And you've got him as a teaching point, so you can go to Jesse Edwards and you can say, hey, listen, if you can rebound the ball like that, you can play. You can go to Barham and say, you rebound the ball like that, you'll play. So that was a perfect example of what he can do.
Yeah, Quincy is a man, especially, you know, in that first half, he came in and I think he grabbed 8 straight rebounds. Yeah. He had and within a, you know, 4 to 6 minute period. So we need Quincy to, you know, continue to rebound the ball and obviously be able to put the ball in the basket. He had a really nice drive. You know, Barama, guys got to get better. Guys got to continue to get better and just go out there and just go after the ball. You know, the one thing, coach, you know, he keeps it simple for our guys inside. You know, really get down, play some defense, you know, rebound the ball, and then you'll get your opportunities on offense just because of the way the offense is structured. So, you know, you just got to be ready to catch the ball and receive it. And that's some of the things that we talk about in my group. But again, getting back to Quincy was really, really good in that stretch where he was able to, you know, go there and control the boards, which we needed. We didn't need those guys to get second and third opportunities because those lead to threes, you know, against teams like Virginia Tech.
You know, one thing real quick before I forget, the one thing that I found out that was very helpful for me as a center when I thought I was like, detached from the game, is having the guard just run by me, like Ed Moss would run by him. I'd take the ball out and throw it up. He tapped me on the leg and he goes, hey, stay ready, stay, because pretty soon it's going to come. Even though you know you can't get the ball to him right away, just let him know verbally, hey, it's gonna be coming there. It's coming soon. That'll keep him sharp. That'll keep him focused. And you don't risk losing that quick pass.
Yeah, definitely. And the one thing that, you know, these guys always got to remember, especially, you know, talking about the centers, is that the ball will find you. And you know about it most better than anybody. You know, when you got really good guards and teams are playing the way they are, you know, now you drive, you know, you got guys driving to the basket and you got the second line of defense coming up to help. And now that's your opportunity to clean up. You know, if not a bounce pass for a layup, if a shot goes up, getting yourself in, you know, great rebounding position so that you can create an opportunity for us, a second or third opportunity for us. So that's one of the things that we've been trying to focus on, and these guys got to think offensive rebounding early. You know, sometimes you kind of get caught staring and standing, which sometimes Barama does, and it gets me really mad. But, you know, I try to tell him to get his position early so that if the shot goes up, he's in perfect rebounding position, and if he's ready for it, you know, sometimes they can get that little dump-off pass for a dunk or a layup. So it's a work in progress, but, again, we've been working. We've been, you know, battling and, you know, just looking forward to our game tomorrow night.
Griff, thanks so much for joining us, as always. Safe travels out to South Bend, and I'll see you again on Thursday afternoon.
All right. Thanks, sir. Thanks, Rose.
Alan Griffin joining us here on Centers of Attention, brought to you by Davidson Ford. Let's take a timeout. When we come back, we keep the guests coming. We got Tyler Lydon joining us, the former Syracuse forward and center. He'll join us here on ESPN Radio and on twitch.tv/QSportsTalk after this here on Centers of Attention.
On Twitch, Q Sports Talk, and on the radio, ESPN 97.7 and 100.1. This is Centers of Attention.
Back here on Centers of Attention, Seth Goldberg, Roosevelt Bowie with you. And don't forget, tomorrow night, not only is it the Syracuse-Notre Dame basketball game, not only can you watch it on TV, listen to it on TK99, but you can watch right here on twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. Rosie will be there, Eric Devendorf will be there, and our next guest, Tyler Lydon, will be there as well, breaking down the game live as it happens, unfiltered analysis and reaction. Tyler, thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Good, good. I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Doing great, Tyler, doing great. I just thought I'd tell you, you know, you guys, when you were playing here, I was hoping you played a little bit longer, but, you know, I got to put up with that. I was working at Time Warner, so they would only let me watch the first half of the game. And right. If you remember correctly, you guys were getting beat the first half of every game. And so by the time I got ready to go on television, I only saw you guys getting beat. So I'm like, doggone it, for the whole year. So I was like, oh. And then you left us. Now I was sitting there with tears in my eyes. But thanks for what you did. And what are you doing now?
Oh, I appreciate that. Right now, I'm at home working out, staying ready for another opportunity. And then while I'm doing all that, I just do training, running camps and clinics for kids in my area just to get them outside and, you know, in the gym, playing, whatever we can do. So I do that with my brother and one of my best friends from high school. We put together little programs that we do. And like I said, just do personal training, group training, all that fun stuff with basketball, and just want to help encourage these kids and give them an opportunity.
That's
now,
awesome.
Were you thinking about, I was trying to figure out, are you looking to go back to the NBA, or would you be entertaining any other Europe or someplace?
I'm open to everything right now. I just want to make sure that I'm ready, you know, so that's why, like I said, I've been working out, staying in shape, staying ready. So whenever that right call and the right fit comes along, you know, I'll be ready to entertain that and be ready if that time comes, you know.
I'm sure we got a lot of Syracuse stuff to get to, but I wanted to ask you first, as we're talking about you professionally. You know what? I know it was up and down, and it was you were in the G League and in the NBA. But what was your professional experience? What's it been like so far for you? And kind of how has that gone? Maybe compared to what you expected it to be.
I mean, it's been crazy. Like you said, there's been a lot of ups and downs. Initially, when I got in there as a rookie, obviously when I got hurt, that was something I never experienced before. You know. Never had a major surgery or anything like that. So when I hurt my knee, that was something difficult to go through. But, you know, at the same time, I learned a lot about myself and where I was at and what I wanted to do. So, you know, playing professionally in the NBA was a great experience. There's a lot of things that, looking back, you know, like I said, I've learned not only about myself but about what that business is like and what it's like to play in the NBA. So it's great that I got to say that I was there. Obviously, I'm not happy with the way that everything went, in the sense of, you know, I wish I got a real opportunity, because I feel like I didn't really ever get that. But, you know, sometimes that's just the way it goes. So those were the cards I was dealt. But like I said, I'm working out. I'm staying ready for whatever opportunity comes and just going to be ready.
Looking back at your time here at SU, Tyler, what stands out to you the most? Obviously, you have the run your freshman year to the Final Four, but when you think back at your couple of years, what's the thing that stands out to you, a game, a moment?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I would say the Final Four run was pretty hard to beat. That just was something that I was never expecting. You know, obviously, as a player and as a high school player, you're watching college basketball, and that's where you want to be, right? You want to be on that stage and, you know, national TV playing for a chance to go to the championship game. And so to even be in that position was just such a crazy, surreal experience for me. And just soaking in the whole March Madness and getting a chance to play in that was, you know, that's something that I'll never forget. There's so many memories and so many good times that I've had from, you know, that run and then all these other Syracuse moments. So there's almost like too many to even go through, but that was definitely one of my favorites.
You know, the one thing that when I watched you play, and you left, I was like, whew, because that's a guy that was going to climb the shot blocking, was going after the shot block record. I used to tell everybody all the time on television, when you go past Tyler, you're never safe. He's going to go up there, and he's got great timing, and you gave me a bunch of thrills, and everybody just kept looking at me, go, how'd you know? Like, you don't give up on anything.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I was brought up, having older brothers and brothers that I always had to play against, and playing up in a lot of competition is like, all I could do is, okay, if I miss shots, whatever that might be, that might be the case, right? But I know I can still make an impact on the floor. So I just was taught and raised by my mom and dad just to give everything I had. And that was something I loved to do, you know. Scoring and all that stuff is great, but I had more pride, and I think I took more pride into making some of the other plays in the game, whether it was a big dunk or a block shot or something like that. That's something that I found more joy in.
So we're talking to Tyler Lydon. He joins us on the Burdick Toyota guest line. He'll be here in studio with us tomorrow night to break down the SU Notre Dame game live. And I'm glad Rosie asked the question that way, Tyler, because it leads me into my tongue-in-cheek but really serious question. Do you have the second biggest block in program history? Is that how that goes?
I mean, some people might say that. I don't know. Yeah, it's cool to look back and actually even think I'm even second. You know what I mean? It's cool just to say that. It was a great block, though. You know, I get that play sent to me over and over again by Syracuse fans. I'm always tagged in it, but it's on social media and stuff. So that was a ton of fun, man. That game was awesome.
Yeah, I've got to find the video because I was at the Time Warner studio, and when you blocked that shot, I think I stood up and I knocked my chair off the stage, and my wires came all out. I totally lost it. I told him, I said, listen, I'm sorry, but, hey, I'm a Syracuse fan first. That was a great, great block.
Absolutely. No, yeah, like I said, that was a heck of a game just by everybody in general, but, yeah, to be in that moment, that was definitely another surreal moment.
You know, Tyler, I wanted to ask you a little bit about, you know, your career as it kind of compares to now with this SU team. We're seeing a lot of young guys playing, whether it's, you know, Quincy Guerrier or Marek. When you were here, he was I think you guys overlapped a little bit. He was here after you left. But guys who played young and guys who are getting on the floor like you did as freshmen and then, you know, growing into bigger roles. How difficult is it to find your footing at the college level, to really find your place as you're, you know, thrown right into the fire playing these big time games as a, you know, an 18, 19 year old?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing you can do as a young player going in is just to have confidence. I mean, any great player, any young player that goes in and just can show that they're ready for that type of a stage in that moment. If you can go in and just be confident in yourself and what you know how to do and your abilities, I think the rest kind of handles itself, you know. But for these guys and for these young players, it's a great chance for them to get that experience under their belt for, you know, like next year or the year after that. But obviously you want to play in the moment and do whatever you can to help your team win. But just to get that experience is one of the best things for everybody, coaching staff, everybody. So I think it's a great thing.
Tyler, I remember watching your. It was the Midnight Madness. You know, everybody came out. They started playing. You came in. I think you came in off. I can't remember if you came in off the bench or if you started, but you got into the game, and you came down. You hit like you had three dunks and a block shot. And I turned and looked at the guy that was there. I was like, "Oh, this is going to be fun."
Yeah.
You just epitomized the you come out, you play hard, you no matter, and nobody even knew what your name was at that time. You just kind of walked out there and just took the game over. So that was really huge. I got one other question about so you have an agent that's looking for, you know, opportunities for you right now?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, and that's in the United States and that's everywhere, correct?
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Hey, listen. Don't even get depressed or anything because we were talking about you earlier. You're a major six figure earner over in Europe. There and they love Syracuse players over there because they know Syracuse players love to practice. So keep your head up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Will do. I appreciate that.
Yeah. You guys are gonna have to trade notes tomorrow night. Rosie's going to be all over it when he sees you tomorrow. Tyler, pleasure catching up for a couple of minutes here, and we'll see you tomorrow night when you come in for the watch party.
Always. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. I'll see you guys tomorrow.
All right. Alrighty. That's Tyler Lydon, the former SU standout forward center. You know, Rosie mentioning his block shots. Fun player to watch when he was here in Orange. He joins us on the Burdick Toyota guest line. I think maybe one of my favorite players that played at SU in my time up here. He's a fun guy to watch.
He really was. When he was leaving, I was like, oh no. But then I started thinking like, well, at least I can stay in second place for block shots for a while. Because if he stayed four, he was getting three blocks, four blocks. I was like, oh my god, he just had that passion going after the ball. And then And then out of nowhere, he'd be coming down the lane, you're looking for a little hook shot, and he'd dunk on somebody. And I would knock my microphone over. I'd knock my chair over. They told me, Roosevelt, you have to calm down because you can't fall off the stage because we'll get sued. I was like, okay, fine.
Yeah, you got to stay safe. You got to make sure you're all right, okay? We can't go hurting Roosevelt Bowie because he's too excited about Syracuse basketball.
That's a good thing, though. It was great. You know, there are very few players that come through that can with that passion. And he had that passion to play. But if you looked at it, if you looked him in the face, he was always calm and collective. And that's why it was so surprising to see him go do something that incredible, because he was definitely focused. And I look forward to seeing find out more about him. Andy Rollins just left to go to Greece to play. So
he's playing for Rick Pitino.
Rick Pitino, yes. He said Rick called him. We were laughing on the phone. So he said he'd want to call in and talk to us about that, too, sometime we had a chance.
Yeah, no doubt about that. That would certainly be a lot of fun. We got to take one more time out here on Centers of Attention. We're brought to you by Joe Bowers Farmers Insurance in North Syracuse. Before we take a break, though, let's remind you that you can register for a day after the big game party. You want to be caller number 5 right now, 315-437-7644. And if you're caller number 5, you will be registered for a day after the big game party from Dunkin' Donuts. Your office is registered to win coffee, bagels, donuts. They'll be delivered by some of your favorite ESPN Syracuse hosts. Your office will run on Dunkin'. It's brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts and ESPN Radio Syracuse. Rosie, I see you dialing. You're on camera now. You got to put the phone away. You can't.
I was trying to sneak in there and see if I get some Dunkin' Donuts. Matter of fact, I'll deliver it. I'll bring it over to him.
All right, we might have to do that. Let's take a timeout. We'll come back and wrap up the show next on ESPN Radio and twitch.tv/QSportsTalk.
On Twitch, Q Sports Talk, and on the radio, ESPN 97.7 and 100.1. This is Centers of Attention.
We're back here on ESPN Radio. Centers of Attention is brought to you by Fusillo Automotive. Seth Goldberg here with Roosevelt Bowie to wrap up the show. And Rosie, it was good to catch up with Tyler, as we mentioned before. You, Tyler, and Eric Devendorf going to be hanging out for that watch party tomorrow night. That'll be a lot of fun.
We've got to keep Eric between us because in case you guys haven't watched this, Eric's like plugged into an electric outlet. He gets juiced up, so we got to keep him between us. But I love his energy. It'll be great to have another big guy in there so we can bounce some ideas back and forth.
No doubt. And three different generations of SU basketball as well. So it'll certainly be a lot of fun. You can watch that on twitch.tv/QSportsTalk starting tomorrow night at 6:45. Got to wrap up the show with this. Rosie, celebrating a birthday. Happy birthday.
Oh, yes. Well,
it's a big day.
Thank you kindly. It is.
So you were telling me in the break your big plans. You're building a model airplane, like an electric model airplane, right?
I am. So I have the motors right here. It's going to be a twin engine. I have my servos for controlling it, the radio, my on-off switch. We have batteries, and this is what's going to end up being a plane.
That is very impressive, because I would not have the I don't have the technical skills to do it. I also don't have the patience to do this. So I am impressed.
Well, I didn't have the technical skills, but I think after I finish today, I might have them.
All right. Well, let's let you go get working on that. Hope you have a good birthday, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. See you tomorrow night.
Thank you very much. Take care. Thanks a lot, Seth.
All right. That's Roosevelt Bowie. I'm Seth Goldberg. Centers of Attention in the books. We're going to turn around. Stephen Fonte going to come in studio and join me on Orange Nation next.